Reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not, here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be cleared, and the lame will leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and the rivers, and in the steppe. The burning sand will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The abode where jackals lurk will be a marsh for the reed and the papyrus. A high will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. No one unclean may pass over it, nor fools go astray on it. No lion will be there, no beast of prey will go up to meet upon it, will be met upon it. It is for those who have a journey to make, and on it the redeemed will walk. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness, sorrow and mourning will flee. The word of the Lord. A little bit about the history of this reading, and then what it means for us today. Isaiah was writing to a people who had sinned very grievously, and on account of that, they had been conquered by the Babylonians. God allowed the Babylonians, the modern... We don't refer to them as Babylonians today. We refer to them as Iraqis. The people from Iraq had conquered Jerusalem. And they had those who were not killed in the war, the Jewish people who were not killed in the war, were exiled. They were forced to leave the Holy Land and to go and live in Iraq, in that region that we refer to today as Iraq. In those days, Babylon. Now, there they were, and they were greatly downcast. They had lost everything. I don't know if. You can imagine, we just haven't suffered in this country like other parts of the world have with war. All of our wars seem to be fought somewhere else. But imagine a war being fought here, and all these houses and everything, the church in ruins, all these houses in ruins, smoldering ruins, wild animals, raccoons and other animals just running through them. Basically the place abandoned, old rusting cars sitting in the streets. This is what Jerusalem had become. There were no rusting cars, by the way. But anyway, whatever the... But again, you see the vision is the land they knew was in ruins. Wild animals made their way through the city, and the place was utterly burned, destroyed, the houses knocked down. Even the temple, the great temple was destroyed. Everything was in ruins. And those, as they were led out of the city and out of the land of Judah, made a lament as they went. If I ever forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither, you see. And they were led off into captivity and into exile in Babylon. Now, with all that in mind, that was what it all meant. What Isaiah was trying to do in this reading was to console them that one day God would restore everything, that all of these ruined lands would be restored. They would become no longer the haunt of jackals and wild animals, but the land would once again be cleared and cultivated. The cities would once again be populated, that everything here, not only would the cities be repopulated, but the people themselves would be reformed, and there would be a straight path leading to Jerusalem that only the just and only the righteous could walk on. And Jerusalem would no longer be the haunt of sinners, but rather a place only for the just, the pure, and the holy. So those were the great visions that Isaiah offered to them. Okay, well, what about us? We are not dealing with a ruined city in the physical sense, but I think, I'd say all of you are older than I am, but you remember a time when the city was a little safer. Certainly there was more racism in the old days, but families were more intact. We see a lot of real devastation in our communities, our families, our churches. I am becoming very, very alarmed, I will tell you, at the low attendance that we're having at Mass. Our collection is lagging behind now. We're in trouble. And if I thought, well, we're doing something horribly wrong liturgically or something was really wrong with parish life, but I don't see what it would be. But it's just people are dying, you know. By the way, another funeral came in for Friday. So three funerals this week, three funerals last week. A lot of people are dying. Right now we're experiencing a lot of loss. Not a lot of new members. So we've got a lot of work to do to get ready for evangelization and to start working very, very much for it next year. But again, we look and we don't see ruins in the sense that they saw them, but we do certainly experience kind of a ruination in our families. We experience a lot of pain, a lot of grief. As young people who don't go to church, who don't know how to respect or obey, who can't hold a job, and so on. We experience a lot of grief and pain about these things, and the pregnancy rates, the teenage pregnancy, the STDs, all of these things that afflict our families in America today. Well, and even in our own selves, you know, we struggle a lot, I think, with pain, with grief, with sorrow, fears and anxieties. The text tries to speak to us, though, that right now God is pruning. He seems to be pruning, and this seems to be a time of difficulty. But God is preparing us for a springtime. The church, I can't guarantee the United States will always be here, but I can guarantee you the church will be. The gates of hell will never prevail against God's church. There may be individual parishes that close, but God's church will remain, and that's one promise God gave us. But it's pruning time, even in the church. There's a lot of pruning going on. And I don't know if you saw the rose bushes as you came in, but they've been pruned away. They were 8 feet tall a week ago, and now they're a foot tall, right? So a lot of pruning. And that's, I think, what's going on. And we just have to accept it. However, notice again, the Lord is talking in this reading kind of about a springtime. Those people that he was talking to, Isaiah, would have to spend 80 years in exile. But after those 80 years, the Iranians invaded the Iraqis and conquered them. They called them the Persians in the day of the Bible, all right? The Persians invaded the Babylonians and overthrew them. And Cyrus, the king of the Persians, the king of the Iranians, allowed the Jewish people to go back to their land. And so it was that the land was reopened and they began to rebuild Jerusalem. And little by little, they began the process of putting things back together. And so it is for us. There are difficult days ahead, I think. We've been through difficult days, but I see real signs of hope. I hope you do as well. I'm seeing a revival of interest among young people. I'm very impressed with the younger vocations that we're getting to the priesthood. Our wonderful sisters down the street of a remarkably thriving order, a new order of missionary sisters, alive. They love the Lord. I'm seeing a lot of renewal in the church. I'm becoming very impressed with some of the younger couples I'm meeting that I'm preparing for marriage. They have a newer understanding, I think, of what marriage is. They don't want to go through with their parents and grandparents with all this divorce and all of that kind of stuff. And we're beginning to discover again, you remember that old hymn or that old song? It's not a hymn, it's an old pop song, actually. Everything old is new again. That people go back sometimes into grandmother's attic and they rediscover stuff that was just pitched up there as a piece of junk, and they bring it down and they dust it off and they see it as a very precious thing. And I think a lot of the things that some of our generations cast off, which we shouldn't have cast off, some of the younger people are beginning to go back and find. And they're beginning to say, you know, this was a loss, and we need to dust it off, and we need to start using it again. And so I remember there was a beautiful Tiffany lampshade up in my mother's attic, and she pitched it up there as a piece of old junk. I remember going, it was up there for about 20-some years, and I remember going up into the attic and dusting it off, saying, this is beautiful. And I brought it down. She says, oh, that old thing? But she said, well, she looked at it, and she said, it is kind of nice. It is kind of nice. And so we went ahead and dusted it off and made use of it again. But it was a beautiful thing that had been pitched into the attic. And I'm afraid that some of us, and I'm including myself now because I'm almost 50, but some of us pitched away things and got rid of stuff that we shouldn't have. And we need to bring some of it back out of the attic. And we need to allow the young people to rediscover some of the stuff that we had sort of lost the sense of the beauty of it. And I'm not saying that's true of all of us as individuals, but I mean our generations, you know. we cast a lot of stuff aside, and a lot of beautiful traditions and things were lost. So I'd simply say that I think there's hope. There's hope for us. But we may still have some lean years ahead, and I think we just got to face that. I think our numbers are going to continue to drop, not just in this parish, but throughout the Catholic Church. I think we're in for some lean years. But let's pray the Lord will see us through, and that indeed there will be a great springtime. And that's, I think, what a reading like this promises. Just a few of the lines to end with. It says here, strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak, and say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong and fear not. See, here is your God. He comes with vindication. It would take them almost 80 years to see the promise of this text fulfilled. But they did see it. They did see it. There came a day when they were told they could go back to their land and rebuild. Likewise, it says the eyes of the blind are going to be opened, the ears of the deaf are going to be cleared. You know, there is so much stinking thinking out there. You can't even get through to some people because they're stuck on stupid. Just plain old stuck on stupid. And they just can't even understand a thing you're saying when you're making perfect biblical sense. But one of these days, people's eyes are going to be opened again and people's ears are going to be unstopped. And they'll be more tolerant again of truth. For now, the gospel is out of season. But seasons have a way of changing, and the gospel will come back into season. It simply talks about the whole desert blooming and so on, all of that. But then it simply says here, a highway will be there called the Holy Way, and no one unclean may pass over or fools go astray. In other words, the city will be once again populated, but it will be largely purified of its iniquity, of its sin. Now, I don't claim that, you know, the New Jerusalem that they rebuilt was sin-free. We all know that. But it was not as sinful and as prideful and as irreligious as the Jerusalem that had been destroyed. And so I think for us, after a lot of house cleaning and purifying, I think the Lord is going to bring back a great religious fervor. I don't know how he'll do it, but he'll do it. And so I think that applying a text like this to our current situation is important for us. And those whom the Lord has ransomed will return back to that ruined city of Jerusalem. Our ruined cities, maybe not in the physical sense, but our ruined cities will be rebuilt, and people will enter Zion, enter our city, singing, crowned with joy, and they will meet with joy and gladness, and sorrow and mourning will flee. Amen.